Welcome to Corgi Confident. My name's Alyssa. I am the self-proclaimed Corgi Queen. Let's talk corgis. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Corgi Confident. This is Wiggle Butt Wednesday, where we talk all things corgis. So last week we were talking about puppy training, so I'm just going to continue that conversation. And today we are going to talk about puppy desensitization. So things to get your puppy used to help them as they get older and when they are an adult. So this is specifically with corgis in mind, but this is stuff to really get all puppies used to, and it's going to help all puppies of all breeds or mixed breeds or what have you. So I'm just going to start the conversation off with sounds, different sounds to get your puppy used to, your corgi puppy used to. If you don't know, corgis are very vocal. They are a herding breed, so they are very vocal. They are very loud and barky dogs. So hopefully getting them used to this sound will help with that. There is no guarantee to that, but, you know, it's always worth a shot. So hopefully getting them used to these noises will make them less likely to bark at these noises. So the list of noises that I came up with, I'm sure there are others, but the list of noises that I came up with were barking, so the sounds of other dogs barking. There's also like people knocking at the door. There's also the sound of the doorbell, fireworks, the sound of vacuums. Vacuums always set dogs off. And also kind of loud noises like crashing, you know. I always think of like dropping a metal bowl, like just really, really loud noises that could come out of nowhere. Other things that could set dogs off, maybe the sound of cars, maybe the sound of, you know, doors opening and closing. My dogs particularly love the sound of the hose turning on because they love the water so much. So if they hear the hose turn on, they lose their frickin' minds and are whining and barking because they want to go play out in the water. So that is something to also keep in mind. And again, that's just a list of sounds that I came up with. There could be other ones as well. But how do you get them past those things? And how do you work on those things? How do you actually desensitize them to those noises? Well, we are lucky to be living in the age of social media. So the easiest thing to do is get those sounds off of YouTube. So I'm going to use barking as an example. You can just search dogs barking on YouTube, and there's like a bajillion different videos that you can use of just dogs barking. Like there's so many you can use. So find a video you like, start at a low noise, you know, really low volume. And while the video is playing, while there's dogs barking in the background, just give your puppy treats. And you don't have to yell at them. You're just going to give them treats. You just, oh, good dog, good puppy, have some cookies. And that's all. And you're going to work your way up and up and up until the volume is louder, louder, and louder. So just to get them used to the fact that dogs barking is actually a good thing and you don't have to react to it at all. The next one, the barking at the door when there's knocking or the sound of the doorbell. Again, you can have like a friend help you, or you can look up sounds on YouTube. Again, if you just look up, there is like a million billion videos on YouTube. I'm sure you can find just a continuous loop of knocking on a door. And again, you're going to do the same concept when the sound is playing, just give them treats. When there's the sound of the doorbell, give them treats. And that is desensitizing them to that sound so that they don't have to alert to it. That's actually a good thing, right? Or it could possibly turn into the fact that when they hear barking, they're going to come run and find you and be like, hey, where's my treat? Barking means treat. Like the sound of a doorbell means a treat. Knocking means a treat. So that could also help you. And instead of alerting to someone at the door with a bark, maybe they could just alert to it by coming to find you and waiting for their treat. I am pretty happy with that. I am happy with that result if that's what they want to do. The other one is vacuum. Again, you would do it in the same way. Again, I am sure there are videos of vacuums on YouTube. I would not be surprised. But if you don't want to search that hard, you could just have your partner, family member, a friend vacuum in another room that's maybe a couple rooms away with the door shut so it's quieter. And again, just give your puppy treats while that sound is playing or while that sound is happening. If you don't necessarily want to be there and hand them treats while you're doing it, one of my favorite hacks is getting a Kong and stuffing it with canned food. I prefer canned food. Other people do peanut butter. I like canned food. And putting it in the freezer. And maybe every time you vacuum, you just go and grab that Kong and you give it to them. And that's their special vacuuming treat. And then they can start associating the sound of the vacuum with vacuuming time. Quill has something to say about that, apparently. The sound of the vacuum with that super special Kong treat. And remember how I said Corgis were barky? Here it is, live and in action. Quilly. Good boy. Good boy. Thank you for coming over. Good boy. So again, I said corgis were barky. There you go. You heard it right there. There they are being yappy. Hi, Quilly. Anyway, so getting that frozen Kong and giving them that Kong when it's time to vacuum so they can associate the vacuum with that super special treat that they only get when the vacuum comes out. You know, make them look forward to vacuuming. What else? Fireworks. Again, I love people working with their dogs on fireworks because that can be really stressful for a lot of dogs. So if you can desensitize them to that, like, the better for them, the better for you. And again, you're going to pull up YouTube and do the same exact thing. Quill apparently still has something to say. Every time I start talking, he decides to start barking. So Quill is my co-host, apparently. Quilly Bear. Quilly Bear, what are you doing? What are you doing, Quilly Bear? You know, it's so funny. He's blind. So I know he doesn't see anything out there. Maybe he hears something that I don't hear. Well, obviously, he hears something that I don't hear. Like, dogs have better hearing, right? Okay, he seemed to have settled down now. Seemed is the key word here. I'm sure he'll get set off again, but we'll see. As far as loud crashes, that is a harder one to get them used to. But you can do the same thing as just have someone give treats. And then there's a loud crash in the background. And you're just still giving them treats. And you don't want to overly protect your puppy necessarily. Like a crash happens. You're like, oh my goodness, what was that? Are you okay? Oh my goodness. Oh, that's so scary. You're going to be fine. And like, no, you don't need to coddle your puppy. I think of it a lot of times when I was working. There was a little kid and they fell down. And all the workers there, me included, were about to be like, oh my God, are you okay? And the parent just goes, no, don't acknowledge it because then he's going to cry. So I think of it that same way. If you acknowledge it, then they're going to think that something's wrong. So alternatively, if there's a loud crash, I just give them some treats and I'm like, oh, that was a loud noise, wasn't it? And then we move on. So I don't coddle them at all. I don't go, oh my goodness, that was so scary. That was so sad. Oh, are you okay? And I don't pick them up. I don't hug them. That probably sounds really cruel. But I show them that there's actually nothing to be worried about by just saying, you're okay, and moving on. Right? So I acknowledge that something happened, but I'm not going to be there cuddling them and coddling them and giving them a reason to freak out, essentially. And so one of my favorite places to go to practice desensitizing to those loud crashing noises is actually a hardware store. Probably go on like a less busy day, like maybe a Monday night when there's not a lot of people, and then work your way up to like the Saturday afternoons when a lot of people are there. especially during the summer when a lot of people are there on the weekends getting their gardening stuff, right? I love going to hardware stores though because you're going to have a lot of people there. There could be some other dogs there, but you're going to have a lot of people there. And you're going to hear people cutting wood. You're going to hear people dropping things. There's going to be the sound of those loud carts going everywhere. And I don't know. I think it just creates a really good natural setting for some of those loud, crashy noises. So I pack up my high-value treats and I make a special trip to the hardware store and I make it part of my training routine to go to the hardware store with my puppy. And that's just a good place in general that I like to start training my puppy with. I don't really take my puppy to pet stores for multiple reasons, but in terms of training, I don't really take puppies to pet stores until they're a little bit older. For multiple reasons, like I said, but also that's a difficult environment to learn in. Yes, there'll be dogs around, but I don't trust other people's dogs, so I don't want my puppy interacting with dogs that I don't trust, and that's just me personally. But a dog store is going to smell like other dogs. That's a really distracting thing. There's probably other dogs that peed in there. That's super distracting. There could be other dogs that are more reactive too, which can be distracting. So I really do prefer going to hardware stores, and most of them, if not all of them, are dog friendly, but double check with the one in your area first before you go, just in case. I have taken my dogs to Lowe's and Home Depot. Both have been dog friendly, but there are other ones that may not be. So it's always good to double check that. So that was desensitizing to sounds. The next thing that I am going to emphasize is desensitizing your dogs to people. Right? And everyone always says, like, you got to socialize your puppy, socialize your puppy, socialize your puppy. There's no such thing as over socializing your dog. Actually, there could be under socializing. I am talking about your dog meeting every kind of person out there, tall, short, like every size in between, every outfit. I know that sounds weird, but you know, I feel like it's common knowledge that some dogs are just nervous around people wearing hats. So if that's the case, then as a puppy, make sure your puppy meets a lot of people wearing hats, wearing rain jackets, wearing rain boots, wearing flip-flops, you know, anything that you can think of that might be different. People with short hair, people with long hair, you know, people that are more soft-spoken, people that are louder. There could be all sorts of different factors that could make your puppy wary of people. So just make it as big of a variety as you can. And bring treats everywhere. And I'm talking like, I usually bring a variety of treats. I bring some low value, some mid value, and then some higher value ones, depending on the situation, because the higher value is going to create a higher motivation, right? So if my puppy is just really unfocused or really nervous, then I can bring out the hot dogs, the cheese, this really high value stuff that they don't really get too often. So it kind of comforts them a little bit more and makes them a little bit more eager to meet or see whatever is going on, right? Makes it a little bit more worth their time for sure. And if you run into someone that wants to meet your dog, you know, just give them some treats. Be like, oh, you know, we're working on puppy training, so I'm going to give you some treats. Do you mind just giving my dog some treats? And that's all you have to do. Just, oh, will you give my dog some treats? And just remember that you are your dog's best advocate. So if you notice that they are scared of this person, they don't really want to walk right up to this person, then acknowledge that. You don't want to push them. You want them to make the decision on their own. And just have this person just toss treats in their direction. See if you can get your puppy just to eat treats close to them, right? It doesn't have to be out of their hand. That could be too scary for them. But as long as they're eating treats around them and the treats are coming from this new person, then that's fine too. And next time around when you're out meeting strangers, maybe you can push it a little bit more. But work within your puppy's wheelhouse. And like I said, you are your dog's best advocate. So, sorry, Lexi's on my lap now, and she apparently really wants cuddles. You are your dog's best advocate. So if you notice someone just running up to your dog to touch your dog before you can even say anything, then be bold enough, be brave enough to stop them. Be your dog's best advocate. If someone running up to your dog is going to scare them, then say that. Tell them to calmly approach your dog because they're still in training or because they're nervous or they're a little shy or we're still getting used to whatever excuse you want to use. It really doesn't matter. You know, you are your dog's best advocate. So make sure you are sticking up for them and their best interest in mind. So that's what I have to say about desensitizing to people. Last week we talked a little bit about how to socialize with other dogs. But if you didn't catch that episode, associate with dogs that you know. You can catch the other episode as to why I'm not really a big fan of dog parks, but I would avoid socializing your dog at dog parks. I would really work on socializing your dog with dogs that you know, that you trust, and that you know behave appropriately. And again, just like people, get them used to big dogs, little dogs, loud dogs, quiet dogs, dogs that just want to run, dogs that just want to be left alone, lighter dogs, darker dogs, anything like that. Just make sure it's a good variety to get them used to. Now, one point as far as this desensitizing goes that I really, really wanted to stress on that I think is very important to desensitize a puppy to is things to do with grooming and medical care. Now, there's various things that go into that, and a lot can fall under the category of grooming and medical care. But one of the things to heavily emphasize on is playing with their feet. Corgis are known to be pretty naughty for nail trims. And I can say that as a former bather and with my best friend who is a groomer and has been a groomer for years. Corgis are known for being naughty for their feet. So I like to play with their feet a lot as puppies. I'll play with them, give them a treat. Grab a paw, give them a treat, squeeze their paws just a little bit and give them a treat. Really getting them used to their paws being handled, right? And to this day, my dogs are all okay with me touching their feet. They're all okay with nail trims because I played with their feet a lot as they were younger. A lot. Now, something else to think about is playing with their ears, right? So, and I think of all this stuff as far as like what a vet would do if they were in an exam, right? So I like to mess with their ears. I'll grab their ears very lightly and then give them a treat, lightly and then give them a treat, right? Like that whole, I'm not going to repeat myself over and over again about that one. But I will work on being able to look in their ears, being able to move them around if I need to, getting them used to cleaning their ears really is what that's for, like wiping something in there as if I were to clean their ears, because that's what a groomer would do. They'll put ear cleaner on a cotton ball and clean their ears like that. And in general, like a vet could put like a light or whatever in there to look in them closer. So anything to get used to that, kind of manhandle their ears a little bit, get them used to their ears being manhandled. Something else I look at is their eyes, right? Can I like open their eyelids as if I needed to give them eye drops, right? You never know if your dog's going to need eye drops in the future. So can I do that? Same thing, if a vet was going to look in their eyes, can I kind of open their eye a little bit, be able to take a good look in there? Are they going to allow me to do that, right? So I really work heavily on that as well. I also work on being able to grab their snout, and I don't mean grab in a violent way, but just like, can I place my hand there, right? And again, this is for groomers as well. You know, they could kind of like need to move their head up so that they could brush their chest, right? Maybe a vet there's a bump on their snout or something, or they want a closer look at their nose, they might need to move their snout up or down or side to side. So are they okay with that happening? Something else is, can you look at their teeth? You know, can you lift their lip up and look at their teeth? Again, like a vet would do, are you able to move their lips, look at their teeth, not only the sides, but the center teeth, you know, the front teeth right under their nose? Can you look at that? And that's going to be used at a groomer as well if you ask for teeth brushing. But if you also want to brush their teeth at home, like, can you lift up their lip and get a good look at their teeth? And are they comfortable with that? Right? So something to think about there. In general, heavy petting. So can you almost like massage down their body? And are they okay with you putting your hands all over their body as if you're checking them over for lumps or bumps, right? Think of an older dog that has to go to the vet all the time. Can you run your hands over them? So really something to work on. I also do that with their hips and shoulders. Can I like rub their hips and shoulders? Are they okay with that? Can I check their necks? Are they okay with that? Sometimes I work on just like moving the fur, because think, if they had fleas, are you able to check to see if they have fleas? Are they comfortable with you moving your hands all over them in kind of an uncomfortable way, right? Because obviously, well, I don't know about obviously, most dogs like pets and being pet. So not really in a pet way, in a more like you're examining their body kind of a way. Can you move their fur to the side to check to see if they have fleas, for example? Check to see if they have a tick there, for example. I have Pembrokes with dock tails, but some Pembrokes still have those tails. So can you grab their tail? Are they comfortable with that? Are they comfortable with you handling their tail to check to see if there's anything weird with their tail? Same thing with, you know, their private parts, their bits and pieces. For Lexi, like, we got her... She was a breeding dog, so I did check on her nipples a little bit just to make sure that they were okay, they were shrinking well, just in general, just to keep an eye on them to make sure that they were okay. For my boys, who are both intact, like, are their manhoods okay, you know? Are their family jewels okay and healthy, right? Are they comfortable with me checking in that area? Even Lexi, like, making sure that she's comfortable with me checking her lady bits out, you know? So things like that to think about. And furthermore, like, their butt. No one really likes to look at a dog butt. I understand that. But are they comfortable with you doing it in case a vet needs to do it, in case you need to do it, in case you think that there's something weird going on? Are they okay with you looking at their booty? Lexi's licking my face as I say that. Thank you, Lexi. So, something to think about for that. But focusing more on grooming type things now. That was kind of more on the medical side. This is focusing more on grooming now. Getting them used to brushing. This goes with all puppies, but corgis are a double-coated breed. So what does that mean? It means that they shed, and they shed a lot, constantly, all the time. And the only way to really help you keep up with it is to brush them, right? And so with puppies, I like to start easy. Even as an adult, I'll use this tool too, but the Kong Zoom Groom, it's a rubber curry brush. That's a good one to start with puppies, because it's not too harsh. It's pretty gentle. And again, I'll still use it on adult dogs too, but it's a good like puppy brush just to get them desensitized to having a brush on their body. So getting them used to having something rub their body, and sometimes I'll do it a little bit rougher, right? Because the slicker brushes can be rougher. Combs as well. Can they have a metal cone on them? And that's a pretty easy one too. And then you can get into the slicker brushes a little bit later. But in general, are they comfortable having a brush run over their body? that is definitely one to work on. Something else that's going to help you with this very sheddy dog is a blow dryer. So I know not a lot of people have a blow dryer at home, specifically a dog blow dryer at home. But if you are taking your dog to a groomer, they are going to have one there. And again, that's where that loud noises aspect is going to come in as well. So like we talked about earlier with desensitizing your puppy to loud noises, that's where this is going to come in. But you can work on this at home using a human hair dryer. Just make sure it's on cool. Okay, make sure it is on cool at the lowest setting, because if it's too hot, you can burn their skin. If it's too hot, it can cause damage. And you can start far away and just kind of get them used to having air blown on them. Again, using a human hair dryer on cool at the lowest setting and getting them used to being blow dried with that, right? Thank you, Lexi. Thank you for the kisses, Lexi. Lexi agrees. I think that's her agreeing. And just start that with just a little bit all over the body, maybe just a few seconds at first, then give them treats, and then you can, you know, slowly increase that over time and give them treats. Trust me, if you do this, your groomers will help you or will love you. If you do this, your groomers will love you, and you are helping your groomers out. And not only is that going to help your groomers out, that's going to make that grooming process a lot easier on your dog, right? Because then they're not going to be as stressed either, which is what we want, right? This is why we do all this stuff, so that your dog isn't going to be stressed in these environments. So the more you can get them used to that blow dryer, the less stress they're going to be at the groomer for that process, because they're going to be like, oh, I remember this. I remember doing this with mom or dad or what have you, right? Continuing on with what's going to help at the groomer, desensitizing them to stuff at the groomer, nail trims. I talked not too long ago about Corgi's not being so good with nail trims, right? So what are some other things you can do to help them with that? Sometimes it can be the sound of the trimmers, that quick snap sound. So you can get them used to that sound, just quick snap, treat. When I am actually trimming their nails, I'll take the tiniest little bit off, give them a treat. Tiniest little bit, give them a treat. Tiniest little bit, give them a treat. And I do that over and over and over. If they work well for their kibble, you can just turn their breakfast or dinner into nail trim time. Or you can just work this a couple times a day and just take off the tiniest little sliver of a nail and then give them a treat and work through it that way. Groomers do also tend to use a Dremel or a nail file, or you could want to use one at home. If you don't have one at home, but you want a groomer to use one, here's a fun hack for you. If you have an electric toothbrush, that is a good way to get them used to the sound of the Dremel. So again, like we talked about earlier, with the sounds, turning it on and then giving them treats while that sound is on, so they're not panicked about it. Once they're comfortable with that, you can take that electric toothbrush and just kind of run it over their paws and nails to desensitize them to the feeling of the Dremel on their nails. That vibration feeling, if you're going to be trimming their paw pads at a groomer, that's also going to help you with that as well. So get your corgi puppy used to nail trims. Your groomer will thank you. You will probably be a lot less stressed for it, and your dog is going to be a lot less stressed. Again, which is everything we want, right? We want our dogs to be less stressed. All right, so that is going to be the end of this episode. We talked about desensitizing puppies to different sounds. We talked about desensitizing puppies to different people, touched a little bit on socializing puppies, and I really emphasize desensitizing dogs to and puppies to different things that are going to come up when you're at a vet visit or at a groomer. Okay, so this has been Wigglebutt Wednesday on puppy desensitization. Stay tuned next week for more corgi tips. I hope you guys have a good one.
Corgi Confident is for educational purposes only. Please contact a vet, trainer,
groomer, or other pet professional in your area for help. Want more corgi content? Make sure to follow Maslow the Trick Corgi on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And if you have a question, you can email us at corgiconfidentpodcast@gmail.com. This is the Corgi Queen, signing off.